Practice makes perfect. Learn Minecraft.
Have you ever wanted to make money from your art, but you just didn't know where to start? Well, in this episode, you'll hear all about how colour pencil artist Amy Howard went from having just one Patreon supporter to making a full-time income from her tutorials with over 1,800 members. So Amy tells us all about how she got started with pet portraits, her switch to wildlife art, and all about her Patreon, what worked, how she keeps people interested, and why she decided to simplify her tiers. She also shares some great tips for drawing tricky things like feathers and water. So if you're an artist who wants to grow, teach, or just enjoy your art more, this chat will help you a lot. So let's begin. Wonderful. So hello, Amy. It's so nice to finally get to do this with you.
Yes, it is.
Can you tell us a bit about yourself and introduce yourself to everybody on here?
So I'm Amy. I'm a colour pencil wildlife artist. I've been doing this for about 14 years, I think. Wow. Working with colour pencil, I teach people how to draw their own wildlife on Patreon. I really enjoy drawing birds. I think that's, yeah,
I've seen a lot of your puffins lately. They're really beautiful.
Yeah, I don't know if you know Julie, who supplies reference photos. I've been talking to her and she's been sending a bunch of different birds and wildlife to do with the sea.
Oh, nice. That's so lovely.
Yeah.
So what inspired you to do colour pencil in the first place then?
Well, I got a tin of Derwent Colour Soft pencils. I don't know if they still do them anymore.
I think they do like Chromaflow now. Maybe that's replaced it or something.
Yeah. But I got a set of those. For my birthday, because I was working with oil paints for a little while.
Okay.
And then I got a set of these, and then I thought I'd try and find people that were using them, and I stumbled across Alan Woollett. And I saw that he could create amazing artwork with colour pencils, so I thought, give it a go.
Wonderful.
Yeah, and then just found the love for it and didn't stop, basically.
Yeah, 14 years is a long time.
Yeah.
So have you done anything, like, have you come across any challenges that you faced with colour pencil that you feel like you've overcome and you're really good at now?
I would say feathers. I used to really struggle because I mainly just used to draw big cats.
Right, okay.
So everybody loves a tiger. And big cats are like some of my favourite things. So I used to just draw those because I was familiar with fur, because obviously doing pet portraits as well. And then I thought I would give birds a go and really struggled with the feathers and the texture at first, but with some practice and kind of studying the feathers and the patterns and kind of what they do, managed to overcome it, and now that bird's my favourite thing to draw.
Oh, that's so wonderful. So you drew a lot of big cats before. Did you start off as like a pet portrait artist then? Like, how did you sort of start your art journey in business?
So my business started as pet portraits. I used to work on pastel mat.
Okay.
Started with pet portraits. Mainly only did those. And then I didn't think that I was going to be good enough to do wildlife.
Okay.
So I was practicing it in my own time, drawing big cats, mainly eye studies, because I really like eye studies. They're yes. really fun. I still love doing eye studies now. It's one of the reasons why I picked this squirrel, because it's got this nice eye with the reflection.
Yeah, it's nice, isn't it? Satisfying, I think.
Yeah. So I practice doing those types of things in my spare time in between doing pet portraits, and then decided to take the leap and start drawing wildlife. One of the reasons was because I was getting a lot of requests to draw spaniels.
Oh, okay, yeah.
All of that curly fur all the time. And I was getting a little bit bored with drawing the same things all the time, and I wanted to draw things for myself that I really enjoy drawing.
Yes, definitely. It can be slightly repetitive.
Yeah, that's why I like drawing wildlife now, not so much pet portraits, because if I don't fancy drawing fur, I can go and draw scales or feathers or, you know, just a wet, shiny beak or something.
Mm-hmm. Oh, very cool. So what made you use Patreon as a platform to do your tutorials and your work on then? Like, how did you discover it?
I discovered it, I was following Lisa Lackery. I'm not sure how to say her surname, but I was following her. Because I've been thinking about, because obviously I do YouTube and other things, and I was uploading videos onto there, and I thought, how could I present tutorial videos? And I stumbled across her, and she was doing Patreon, and it had only just launched.
Yeah, okay.
So, yeah, I basically thought, oh, that's a good platform. Mm-hmm. And there, and then, yeah, just continued uploading there, and it became quite popular.
Mm-hmm. And how did you find using Patreon? Like, how did your sort of first month go in terms of like growing pains and discovering what to use it for and how to, like, I guess, migrate people over there? How did that work for you?
So it was really slow at first, mainly because when I decided to start Patreon, I was still mainly doing pet portraits.
Yeah.
So a lot of people were following me because they like to see my pet work, and it took a little while to kind of get the following for people that wanted to learn how to do colored pencil and also enjoy wildlife.
Yes, okay.
So it took a long time. My first month, I think I had maybe one person.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a friend of mine. Like friends and family to begin with.
Mm-hmm.
And eventually, just through posting how I post on Instagram, similar to you, like snippets of drawings and progress photos, people were interested in learning and following. Mm-hmm. And then people, I suppose, started thinking, I want to learn how to do that as well.
Mm-hmm. Did you mainly build your audience on social media first then, and then try and get them onto Patreon?
Yeah. So I've always been posting on Instagram and, not so much anymore, but Facebook.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, just posting through there, trying to encourage people over.
Well, that's interesting. You don't post on Facebook that much anymore. Do you find that your target audience is mainly on Instagram then?
Yeah, and it just became like a lot to keep posting across various different platforms.
Yes, yeah.
So for me, one of the ones that works really well is YouTube.
Okay.
Because people are already there for video content.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's much easier to kind of convert them over to Patreon because, again, it's video content.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas I find it's harder to kind of get people away from Facebook and Instagram.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, that's true, because they just like scrolling on it and not necessarily want to deviate from that.
Yeah, but yeah, YouTube works really well for me in terms of getting people, because they're already watching a video about art, so they're already interested in obviously learning and following that particular course.
Mm-hmm. So what kind of videos do you post on YouTube then? Is it similar to what's on Patreon?
Yeah, so at the moment, all I'm posting is like studio vlogs,
Right.
but that's because I just don't have. Oh, I do have the time. I just need to make more time to create sort of more longer form learning content.
Right.
But it's mainly so the things that I post on Patreon are real time videos of what I'm doing. So I'll explain exactly what I'm doing as I'm doing it, what colors I'm using, all of that. And YouTube is more like of a time lapse, 'cause sped up, and a quick overview of what I'm doing. So I won't go
Right.
into depth about a technique, 'cause that's obviously reserved for Patreon.
Right, that makes sense. You're showing them exactly like the kind of video they'll get, and if they want the full breakdown, they can go to Patreon.
Yeah.
It's a really good way of doing it because then you're still showing what's in your content without sort of giving it away.
Yeah, and I do find that there are a lot of people that don't actually like following a real-time video, and some people do prefer quicker, shorter, less involved steps.
That's interesting. So they just like to watch the full time lapse rather than
Yeah.
real time.
Yeah, I've had a few comments where people do they because obviously you don't have to spend hours sitting there watching a drawing come together
Yes.
and learning all of the individual things, where some people really take it in 15, 20 minutes.
I guess it depends on what you want to learn, isn't it? And how sort of advanced you are and what you already know.
Yeah, that's the thing.
Yeah. So what do you sort of do to keep your patrons engaged then? What do you like to do on that platform?
Mainly at the moment, I've taken a little break at the moment, just because I've been following other things. But mainly just posting the videos. I used to do a thing where I'd get patrons to submit their finished drawings each month, and then we'd have like a little showcase.
That sounds nice.
Yeah. That was, I think people enjoyed that. And we used to do live draw along sessions as well, Q and A's, that kind of thing. But I'm hoping to start uploading a little bit more to Patreon in the next couple of months and getting back there now that everything, now I've sorted everything else out on the other side of things I'm doing.
Yes, yeah. So how can you talk us through like your pricing tiers and how you decided like what to actually price your Patreon at, and has that changed over the years as well?
Yeah, so I started off with a couple of different tiers. So I had a really cheap one, which was $1, which was just for support, people that don't necessarily have the funds to sign up to the more expensive tiers but want the support. I can't remember what I had at the beginning, but the recently I've changed it now because I only have one tier available at the moment, which is just access to everything. But I used to have it as kind of beginner, intermediate, and advanced. So in the kind of beginner section, it was $5, and you'd get the basics of how to draw fur, how to draw feathers, technique, all of that, the kind of the basis that you would need for colored pencil work. And then the next tier would be all of that, and then including a few in-depth longer tutorials, a few kind of simpler subjects like eye studies, and full things that you can complete with your kind of foundation knowledge. And then I've got the access to everything, which is $13, and that basically gets you everything that I've ever created, all of the long form tutorials, all the different subjects, and they're a lot harder subjects as well. So I've got snakes, well, I say snakes, a snake, hummingbird, those kind of more intricate, really detailed feathers.
Right, yeah.
things that people look at and think, I have no idea how to do that, mm-hmm. or that looks really intimidating. I still look at hummingbirds and different things and think, no, thank you.
They've got a lot going on, don't they? A lot of layers of feathers and different colours.
Yes. So that was my tier structure.
Mm-hmm. And you've changed it all to one now.
Yeah, just to make it easier at the moment. Just with everything else that I'm trying to do, I just thought one tier. I also found as well that a lot of people were just signing up to the one tier that I have now.
Okay, so that was your more popular one then?
Yeah, it's always been the most popular. And when I did kind of separate them, people would message and say, I don't get access to this and I want access to X.
Right.
It was a bit, I don't know if Patreon has changed very much since then, but it can be quite confusing as like the user to understand exactly what you're getting.
Right, okay.
So I used to get quite a lot of messages saying, I don't have access to this. Why don't I have access to it?
Okay.
Yeah, it just wasn't very clear that that wasn't in their tier.
Is it? Right, okay, I see, yeah.
I think Patreon was showing people a post that they could have access to and it was locked, and it just confused a lot of people.
I see. I guess it was sort of like trying to upsell them, but it just confused them.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Oh, that's very interesting that you just have one tier now, because I guess that does make it so much simpler for everyone here. If you want access to your tutorials, then you literally just pay this much every month and that you get access to everything.
Yeah.
Yeah. Makes it so much simpler.
Yeah. And it has reduced the amount of emails.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay, great. Because definitely that's hard to try and speak to everyone all the time and I guess solve problems.
Yeah, especially if you continue to grow and you're getting mm-hmm. more and more people sign up, then those emails and everything obviously increase. Mm-hmm. I was finding at a time that I was doing a lot more admin rather than drawing.
Yes, okay.
So it was taking a lot of the fun out of doing things. So I thought, to bring the fun back, I would just cut all the other tiers, cut all the admin.
Mm-hmm. No, that makes sense. And it sounds like it's made it better and more streamlined for your business as well.
Yes, it has, yeah.
So what was your sort of process? I know you're not currently uploading videos right now, but what is your go-to process for building your Patreon? Like, do you do videos once a month or once a week or that kind of thing?
Yeah, I try to do them once a month.
Mm-hmm.
When I very first started, I think I was very ambitious and I was saying, I'm going to get a video up every week. I gave myself a lot to do.
Right.
And I think if anybody else is thinking of starting out and doing that same thing, you need to not start out with too much.
Right, okay.
I found myself, I got quite burnt out and I couldn't quite deliver after a time because I was just getting too tired.
Mm-hmm. But I guess if you're just starting, you don't have much of a content library, do you? So you sort of needed to build it up quickly anyway to keep people occupied as you then slowed down.
Yeah, exactly. That was exactly what happened. I pre-recorded before I started a couple of tutorials so that I would have content to post.
Okay, so it wasn't just like one to start with?
No, I did have a couple uploaded.
Okay.
Yeah, but I was adamant I was going to get content up every week, and I did get content up every week, but it mm-hmm. just, yeah, it too just much. wasn't a sustainable option.
Mm-hmm.
So I ended up then changing it to 2 uploads per month, like full tutorial uploads.
So okay. They
full in-depth, 6+ hours, that kind of thing.
Oh, wow, okay.
And then also uploading some smaller technique videos that people would suggest.
Mm-hmm.
So I always ask for feedback on what people would like to learn and what they need help with, and then I would make a video based around those particular subjects, because I'd rather make videos and things to help people with what they actually need help with rather than me just going off and doing whatever.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Did you find that content twice a month then was a more sustainable way of doing it, and people were still like happy with the amount that you were doing?
Yeah, so it was definitely more sustainable for me. I did ask my patrons at the time if that was okay, like if they were happy with that, and they said they're happy, because by the time I got to that point, I had quite a big back catalogue of different things. So they were quite happy because they had lots of things to work on.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's good. So it's worth having a back catalogue to start with so you don't put yourself out too quickly.
Yes, I would say, yeah.
Mm-hmm. What sort of your filming setup? Can you take us through that?
So I use a DSLR camera.
Mm-hmm.
And I use a program called OBS on my computer. So I have I don't know what you call it, the battery pack that you don't have to charge.
Yes, I've got one of those as well. It's just always plugged in.
Yeah. So I've got one of those for my camera, because when I started, I was using batteries, and I'd have to charge them every 20 minutes because they wouldn't last that long.
Oh my goodness, that's a lot.
I didn't realise that you could buy the AC adapter for the cameras. I use a DSLR, and I've got not a tripod, but one of those arms that is connected to the ceiling.
Yes. Oh, okay. The ceiling, that sounds cool.
Yeah, so you've got a top-down view. And then I've also got a secondary camera that I use for side angles, but I don't always use that because it's just editing sometimes can be quite a nightmare, trying to match everything up.
Yeah, and trying to do both angles as well. And then you've got like two, I guess, the tutorial twice because of the two angles. So it takes up a lot of storage space.
Yes, it does. So I link up my camera to my computer and record through OBS, which just captures the camera footage. And just record it on there.
Do you record your voiceover separately then?
Yeah, so I do have a microphone that I use for recording voice. Again, when I first started, I was just using the camera microphone, which is fine, but the audio quality of having an actual microphone made a lot of difference.
Yes. Yeah, I do find it's much better that way, isn't it?
Yeah.
So you don't want a crackling, horrible sound.
No. So, yeah, I record my audio separately and then link everything up in the editing process. So the editing sometimes takes a lot longer than the actual drawing and recording.
Mm-hmm.
Because I like to...
Oh, it definitely does.
Yeah. just... taking out all of the little bits that you don't want in, like coughs and sniffs, that kind
of thing. Yeah, try to clear your throat if you're talking for a while.
Yeah. I did learn the art of actually pushing stop on record when I know that that's going to happen.
Right, okay.
So that reduced a lot of editing time in the end.
Oh, that's helpful.
Yeah.
So what's your favourite tutorial that you've done then?
Oh, I have no idea. I've done so many that I don't really know. I think the eye studies are always my favourites.
Okay.
Just because anyone can follow them, and I love looking at an eye study.
Mm. Yeah, they are fun.
Yeah. What else have I drawn? I recently did a bee on a dahlia.
Okay.
I really enjoyed that one because it was more unusual colours.
Mm-hmm.
The dahlia was bright pink, and don't often get to use bright pink in wildlife.
No, that's true, unless you're doing a flamingo or something.
Yeah. So that one was quite good. Yeah, I think that one's quite memorable because of the colours, but you're just mm-hmm. looking at these. I really just enjoy isolates and any of the birds that I've drawn as well.
Mm-hmm. Have you ever had to like start again, like you start, you know, filming the tutorial, but then the drawing is just going wrong, so you'd have to start again?
Yeah, so there's been a couple that I have had to completely scrap of recording the first part and then left it a little while in between, because sometimes I record two at the same time.
Right, okay.
Yeah, just to give my eyes a little bit of a break from one particular thing.
Mm-hmm.
And then I was drawing an orca, and I went back to it and just absolutely hated it.
Oh no.
But at the time I was uploading to Patreon in different parts, so I would upload a part as I'd done it rather than the whole tutorial as a whole thing.
Right. Is it normally one video now that you upload rather than parts?
Yeah, one video now.
Okay.
Because of this particular situation where I had uploaded some parts of the orca and didn't finish it.
Oh no. So what did you do?
Oh, I said to people at the time, I said, you can follow it, but I haven't finished it. And you can complete it on your own and see how you get on and send me the end results.
Yeah, so this is a challenge for you, not the fact that I don't want to do it anymore.
Yeah, but I did end up taking it down because people did want me to finish it, and I've still got it because it's in my drawer of I'm never going back there.
Right, okay. You have a whole drawer.
Well, there's about four pieces in there.
Right, okay.
So it is still in my drawer, but I will never ever finish it.
How come you weren't tempted to start again?
I was tempted because I feel like I don't have that kind of texture and that particular skill set very often in my tutorials.
It's very, very smooth, isn't it?
Yeah. So I feel like I need to revisit something like that so that there is that option of that kind of texture available.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I've taken down those videos now just so that people don't start it and then think, well, where's the rest of it?
Yeah. Get confused. Why didn't you finish this one? Yeah. Now, marine life is particularly hard, I think, because I've got a marine journal version of this.
Yeah.
And definitely like doing a dolphin was like it's involved so much blending. It's almost like when you're doing portraits and skin, and you've got to do more like blending circular motions rather than anything else.
Yeah.
But there's so many different layers of color as well, because the light's reflecting, the water's reflecting. There's a lot going on.
There is, isn't there?
Mm.
I think, yeah, the water, because the reference that I was drawing, the orca was kind of coming out of water.
Right, okay.
And I think it was the water that scared me at the time.
Right. Have you done water since?
Yes.
Okay.
I've done water since. So I've just drawn a seal.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
So, I think I've seen that.
Yeah, he's like popping out of the water. There's mm-hmm. It's mainly water. Yes. There's more water than seal on that one.
Mm-hmm.
So I have tackled it, and I'm feeling a lot more confident. But there are times when I look at that piece, because it's in my harbour hut down, like my shop, I suppose I should call it.
Mm-hmm.
He's sitting down there, and I look at him pretty much every day. And sometimes I'm thinking, yeah, that looks a lot like water. And then other days I'm like, I can see every single mistake and things that I could do better or different.
So can you give us a few tips on water then? What have you learned?
So I learned to not think of it as water.
Right.
To mainly look at the shapes that you can see.
Mm-hmm.
So it's mainly ovals, little different squiggles, lots of different, those shapes that aren't really shapes.
Right. Is it sort of like feeling like a colour by number vibe then?
Yeah, I guess so. So I would identify all of these different shapes, and then fill in the shadows around the shapes first to get the dark parts in.
Mm-hmm.
And then I would go back in, get the lighter areas down, and start to build up into the mid-tones, and then trying to blend everything together.
Right. How did you find the blending then?
Not too difficult. So I used a white pencil mainly.
Okay. Yeah.
That helped get everything quite smooth. I like to use, I don't know if you've ever come across it, but the Holbein Soft White.
No.
It's a really, really soft white pencil. You can't sharpen it with a normal sharpener because it's just so crumbly.
Oh, I see. Okay.
But when you are using it and blending your colour pencils, it works really like magically.
Mm-hmm. Because it's so soft.
Yeah.
That's so interesting.
I used a lot of that to help blend the water areas, and I did think about using what's it called? The Zest It, a solvent blender.
Yes.
I did think about that because I thought that might lend itself really nicely to the effect of water.
Mm-hmm. And did it? Have you tried that before?
I tried that with the Orca because I thought, oh, maybe I should try that technique again.
Yeah.
But I ended up going and just using the white pencil.
Yeah. I always get scared of the solvent. I feel like it's going to ruin it.
Yeah, that's that. Well, that's the trauma that I had from the Orca. I was like, I don't want to ruin it.
But
no, the white pencil worked really well, and I say I worked from the darker areas, getting the shadows and the shapes in, and I worked in small sections as well, because I usually work in small sections rather than going in and doing the shading on the whole piece. I'll just work in small section and complete it and then move on to the next.
Yeah, that's the difference we're both doing right now, isn't it? Like, I've gone in and done the whole thing. Yeah. It's really interesting.
So yeah, I would just work in small sections, get the shadows in, and then work back through the lighter tones to blend everything together. Mm-hmm. And it did work quite well.
Okay, that's very helpful, because I'm going to draw some water next and I've never done it before, so it's very helpful you giving your tips.
It was very tricky.
Yeah, I can imagine.
Yeah, I did have to take quite a lot of breaks and step backs from it.
Right, okay.
Just because looking at it, it kind of was like a little bit psychedelic at times. I was just looking at all of these. It was mainly circles and ovals, like creating the ripples on the water.
Mm-hmm.
Just looking at that all the time. Just had to take a lot of breaks.
Does it make you feel like you're going blind?
Yeah, it's like just getting lost when looking at the reference photo as well sometimes.
Yes, okay.
So one thing that I do when I am working on something like that is I have my reference photo open on Photoshop or Paint or whatever.
Yeah.
And then I use the little paintbrush tool to mark what area I have done.
Oh, that's interesting.
Just so if there are a lot of circles or lines and you want to reference your reference photo really quickly rather than having to stare at it for ages and think, where on earth am I?
Yeah.
Oh yeah, I just use a little brush tool to mark down the bits that I've done. So just kind of use a little white blob to mark I've done that bit. So the
not
next
draw
bit.
The blob.
Yes. Yeah. I find that helps.
Yeah. No, that sounds like a really good idea, because I think things like that complicated, you can just get completely lost in the image.
Yeah. And then you spend a lot of time, say, looking at it and thinking, where am I going next? Or what parts have I done? What parts haven't I done?
Mm-hmm.
And because of the way that I work, because I work in small sections, like, I'm working on the top of the squirrel now, and then I'll do the band underneath.
Right, okay.
That way, if I was to have my reference photo on the computer, I would kind of put a white line through that bit to say.
Okay. Right, okay. That's very interesting. It's interesting that you do that, because I feel like I need to keep seeing the whole picture to make sure that all of my values are consistent, I suppose, and it's all built up together. So I guess even if I felt like one section was finished, I wouldn't necessarily want to block it out.
Yeah, I see. Yeah.
Yeah. But everyone works differently, don't they?
Yeah. I do it. Right. Always go with a fresh image and just check everything.
Yes, okay.
But yeah, at the time, like, that bit's done, I can move on to the next section.
Right. How do you sort of decide that it's done then?
I don't really know. I just kind of spend some time on it, and then if I feel like the colors are all there and the values are kind of looking okay, then I'll move on.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes when I do add, it depends on the subject, but sometimes I do add the next bit, and then I realize that the values in the bit that I've done previously need to be a little bit darker. So then I will go back and adjust.
Yeah. I normally have to darken it as well. I always start off too light.
Yeah. But it depends on the thing. Sometimes I can just work on it all, and everything will look okay. But a lot of the time, that's not the case. A lot of the time, I do have to go back in and adjust and darken and sharpen.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's very cool. Tell us more about this shop you've got then.
Ah, oh, yes. So, I sell my artwork in the form of cards and everything. After I've got an Etsy shop that I've been... that's been running for quite a while, and I've always kind of had the dream of having my own shop, I'm like presenting everything to the world that way, but I'm quite a shy person, so I've kind of put it off for the longest time, and then yeah, recently I've learned about my local harbour market, because I have a friend that also has a little hut down there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and they said that I should apply, so I applied, and then I got a position, and now I have my own little shop where I can put whatever I want in it.
That's wonderful. Do you pay like monthly for the sort of rent or something then?
Yeah, so it's rented on a monthly basis.
Mm-hmm.
When I applied, it kind of, you could select the months that you wanted to be there. So I applied to be there from March till October, because I thought, right, that would give it the best time to see how well it does and if it's like a viable option.
Mm-hmm.
But you could choose to just open for 1 month if you wanted. And then, yeah, just get invoiced every month for the rent. It's compulsory hours of every weekend and bank holiday, 11 till 6.
Right, okay.
So it's, yeah.
Have you been finding it then?
Yeah, it's not been too bad actually. I opened in March, and that was just weekends. And for the weather and the time of year, I didn't think I did too badly.
Mm-hmm.
And then in April, you had the option of opening during the week. So you could open from Wednesday until Sunday. So that's what I've been doing for April.
Right.
And during the summer holidays or kids' holidays when they break up from school, you can open 7 days a week. So the last 2 weeks, I've been kind of open every single day down there. Thinking that it's the Easter holidays, people will be out and about with their kids and there'll be lots of people around, but actually it wasn't too busy.
Okay.
So there were a couple of days where I didn't make any sales, but then at the weekends that kind of made up for it because then everybody was out at the weekends.
Mm-hmm. Especially if it's sunny.
Yes, exactly. And the place that it is, so I live on the coast, so it's down the harbour, there's the beach right there, there's lots of things going on the harbour arm, live music, lots of food vendors, that kind of thing.
Oh, lovely.
So it's kind of like a nice vibe and a nice place to be, especially when it's warmer. You know, everybody wants to go down the beach when it's warm.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of footfall.
Yeah.
And the company runs the harbour arm. They do a lot of advertising, obviously to get people down there. So it's kind of, you kind of get a little bit of free advertising
for your business. Yeah, that's useful.
Yeah, so you don't have to kind of push people your way yourself so much.
Mm-hmm.
It kind of, yeah, it's nice to have to just have people come down because the harbour is there rather than being like, I'm here, please come and see me.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if I was advertising for Patreon, that would be the kind of thing I would have to continuously push it in order to get people to see it and to be aware that it's there.
Yes.
But with this, I don't have to, which is really nice.
Mm-hmm. What's been your most popular product that people have bought then?
Goldfinches.
Okay.
So I've sold a lot of goldfinch cards and goldfinch prints.
Oh, lovely.
Which, going off of what I sell a lot of on Etsy, I didn't think was going to be that popular.
Oh, what did you sell a lot on Etsy then?
Etsy is very good for selling bees.
Oh, okay.
So my bee card, I've got a bee on a clover. That always sells out. That seems to be really popular. That's basically the only thing that I sell on Etsy.
Mm-hmm. Wow, just bee cards. That's so cool.
Yeah, so I've got, I don't know how many different cards, but the bee was always the one that would sell, which is fine, but I kind of took that knowledge of that sells on Etsy, that's what's going to sell down the harbour.
Mm-hmm.
But no, it's goldfinches, and I've got a drawing of a wolf pack, which also does really well.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, so there's different, people are liking different things in person than they are online.
Are you going to draw some more goldfinches then?
Possibly. I have a little horde of them that fly around my local area, and they're sometimes in the garden. So I might try and get my camera out and get some photos.
Oh, that would be lovely.
Yeah.
That's probably why they're selling well, I guess. If they're a local bird that is there, people see them, they want that memory, especially if they're tourists.
Yeah. We've also got, obviously, a lot of seagulls and pigeons. So
mm-hmm.
one of the latest drawings that I've done is a seagull, which I've named Barry.
Oh, nice.
And I thought that would be quite good for people wanting to take, like, a memento or something, but he's yet to find his place. Parts, I think
yeah,
seagulls, some people tend to either really love them or hate them.
Mm-hmm.
I really love them. I think they're quite handsome.
Mm-hmm.
But a lot of people come in and they see, because I've got the original hanging up, they see him and then they're like, oh no, I don't like seagulls.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
You'd be like, well, I've got plenty of other birds here. Keep looking. That's funny.
I get a lot of people come in, kids especially, and they take a look at all of the cards and everything else, and they try and name all of the birds that they can.
Oh, that's sweet.
It's kind of given me an idea to maybe do like some prints or something with all the different birds on it.
Yeah, like a poster. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, kind of like a bird, like a bird identifier, I suppose.
Yeah.
Or maybe
that's a really lovely idea.
Yeah, like a bird watching book or something with illustrations in it.
So, that'd be really nice.
Yeah, being down there has kind of given me a few ideas for products for the future.
Yeah, I guess it's very helpful to see how people interact with your art firsthand.
Yeah.
Has it inspired you to do any other drawings then?
I really want to try and do some more local wildlife.
Mm-hmm.
We've got cormorants on the harbour arm.
Mm-hmm.
A whole bunch of cormorants, and they're on this particular structure. I'm not sure what the structure is. It's like an old sea cat dock.
Okay.
And it's just like a really interesting metal structure that they're always on it. So I really want to draw that because it's very local, obviously being right there.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm thinking if people are venturing down the harbour arm and they're walking and they see them, and then they're walking to the marketplace where I am and they see that, they might
get
home with it or something.
Yeah, I think that would be a lovely idea.
So I definitely want to try and draw more local things like that, maybe more local scenes as well, because I tried over Christmas to break it up a little bit and do some acrylic paintings.
Oh, okay.
Some seascapes and things.
Would you put those on your Patreon as well?
Yeah, I had thought about it, but I'm not sure, because obviously it would be acrylic, how the different medium would go down.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously people are there for coloured pencil, so I don't want to start uploading paintings if people aren't interested in that.
Mm-hmm. I guess you could give it a go, because one won't necessarily hurt.
No. I had thought about if I wanted to do something like that, I could always open up another tier on Patreon that is just
right
specifically for painting.
That's a good idea, because then you could have different tiers for different mediums if you're exploring others as well.
Yeah, so that's always an option. But
mm-hmm.
I painted a few seascapes and I really enjoyed it, because it was just obviously really different from coloured pencil and wildlife and fur and all of the fur strokes. And
mm-hmm. How do you find acrylic compared to colour pencil then?
It's a lot easier.
Oh, okay.
Because
it's quicker, or?
Yeah, it's less time consuming. I try and be a lot looser when I'm painting.
Right, okay.
With coloured pencil, I think sometimes I get a little bit too caught up in getting all of the details in.
Right.
I don't know if you feel the same.
Like, yeah, it's very hard to like stop, especially if it's a good picture.
Yeah, exactly. Like, I need to get this detail in exactly like this. And sometimes it can just be a lot.
Mm.
So when I was painting with the acrylics, I just tried to be a lot looser and a little bit more forgiving if I didn't get something in exactly the right place.
Mm-hmm.
Which is really nice to just be able to allow yourself to do that.
Mm-hmm. Do you feel like that's changed your style quite a lot then?
Not really. My colour pencil style has stayed the same.
Mm-hmm.
I'm still exploring paint style, because I work in watercolours sometimes when I'm doing pet portraits.
Oh, lovely.
So I try and do more of an expressive, free style.
Mm-hmm.
Which I really enjoy doing, as I said, because it's a nice break from being so controlled with the realism.
Yes, yeah.
I try not to make the watercolour pet portraits I do completely realistic.
Okay, so more of like illustrative or something.
Yeah, so sometimes I won't use the right colors. So if, especially if it's a black animal, for instance, I won't go in and use lots of grays like I would with colored pencils and build up grays, like
Right,
dark
okay.
sepias and blues. So I would use pinks and purples instead.
Oh, that
Trying
sounds
to,
nice.
yeah, which I really enjoy, but some people aren't into that, but that's fine.
So do you take still commissions then?
Yeah, so I'm a lot more selective on commissions nowadays. If someone comes to me and tells me that they want me to draw their spaniel, it's immediately going to be a no. Because I've just worked on so many spaniels over the years that I really don't enjoy drawing them.
Just a bit spangled out now.
Yeah, it's the ears. I don't, the face is fine. But it's just the really curly ears you get with a lot of them.
You can give that as an option. I'll draw your spaniel if I don't have to draw the ears.
A
You'll know
tiny
it
bit
is
of a face.
spaniel. Yeah.
For an eye study of a spaniel, that's fine.
Yep.
But yeah. So I like that I can kind of, before when I was trying to just do pet portraits, obviously that was what I needed in order to make a living.
Yeah.
So I would just take on whatever anybody threw at me.
Yeah.
But now I don't necessarily rely on just the pet portraits now. I feel like I can be a lot more selective on what I actually would like to draw. As I found as well that if I'm not entirely enjoying what I'm drawing, the end result doesn't always look as good.
Right, okay. That
In my
makes
opinion,
sense.
I've asked other people the same, and they said they can't really see a difference. But to me, I can see that
Okay.
I put my heart into it.
Right, okay. That makes
So
sense.
yeah, I just feel like being a little bit more selective like that just helps the end result as well.
And it makes it more enjoyable for you as well, because you don't want to go to your work and feel like, oh, I've got to do this thing that I don't want to do. Like, that's not the point of being your own boss, is it?
No, exactly. And it's not nice to, yeah, have to come to your desk and then think, I've got to draw these spaniel ears now, and I really don't want to.
I'm guessing you've never done like a poodle and stuff then.
I did, yeah, my friend commissioned me. She's got a poodle mix,
Ah, okay.
and it had, yeah, it's just a mass of curls.
So you take on some commissions, you've got your shop, you've got your Patreon and your Etsy shop. Do you do anything else as an art income?
Yes, so I was asked about 3 or 4 years ago. I got an email from a publishing company
Oh.
asking if I would write them an art book. I do actually have my own art book out as well.
Well, that's wonderful. What does it
Yeah.
have in it?
So that is, it's not just wildlife. There are some subjects of a pepper, a sweet
Ooh.
rabbit, a glass of ice. There's some different textures in there, and it also explains kind of the basics of colored pencil, that kind of thing. So there's lots of things going on in there.
So it's mainly about colour pencil techniques.
Yeah, colored pencil. So at the beginning kind of explains colored pencil techniques. Yeah, the kind of different pressures that I use in my pencil, try to explain that as best as I can in a print format. It's really difficult to convey that sometimes. So there's techniques, and then it goes into all the different subjects. So let's say a bell pepper, there's a spoon, which is one of my favorites.
Oh, nice.
Really enjoyed. I tried to think of some really simple subjects that would really show contrast, and I thought a reflective simple metal spoon would be ideal, so that was one of my favorite ones to do. But the brief from the publishing company was they didn't want just wildlife.
Yeah, okay.
So I yeah, Karen, sorry.
Sorry, I was gonna ask, was that the first time you did still life with colour pencil then?
Yeah, pretty much.
Mm-hmm.
The publisher asked if I would be comfortable drawing those things. And I wouldn't say I was comfortable drawing them, because it's not my, wouldn't be my choice to go out and draw that thing. Obviously, I want to draw wildlife. But I kind of know the techniques and could teach people how to do it.
Yes, okay.
But it, yeah, it was my first time drawing some of those particular subjects, especially the glass of water with ice in it. That was a really different one.
Okay. What was your technique for that then?
The same kind of technique as what I explained for drawing the water for the seal.
Yes, okay.
It was a clear glass, and obviously mm-hmm. the water in it, it doesn't really have any colour. So I just use a lot of greys to map out all of the shadows and get all of that in, and then just, let's say, work from lights back to the darks to blend everything. And then I spent a lot of time looking at and making sure that the contrast was right.
Yes, I guess it's more of a value study, isn't it, if there's not really much colour?
Yeah, that's kind of what I treated it as. Just making mm-hmm. sure I'm getting a lot, making sure those darks are really dark.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's so wonderful. I'm loving your squirrel.
Thank you.
It's very cute.
I don't think I'm going to get mine completely finished, but...
It is fun, these exercises, to try and see how far you can get in the hour.
Yeah.
Because normally when you're like doing commissions or I guess your own art, you're not really timing it. You're just doing it until it's finished.
Yeah.
So I do quite like to see how fast I am sometimes.
Do you get with your work when you post it online that people often ask how long something has taken you? Because I found that with being people come in and say, how long has this taken you?
I never know. What do you say?
Well, I can kind of guess how long something's taken me.
Mm-hmm.
But I do say, like, I don't put a timer on when I'm drawing, because I find that takes the fun away. The only one that I have timed was the seal, because I knew that people would ask me.
Right.
So that one I did kind of keep a check on how many hours a day I was working on it and how many days it's taken me.
Mm-hmm. But I guess document it when you start and when you finish rather than putting a timer on.
Yeah. It's just mm-hmm. I just find it really funny how people always ask about how long something's taken. Mm. I never think to time it.
Yeah, I honestly never really time it. I sort of think about it in days. So like, did it take me all day or half the day?
Yeah, like obviously you know when something's taking you a long time.
Yeah.
But if it's a small study, it's often hard to kind of pinpoint exactly how long you've spent on it.
Yeah, definitely. But it's quite a fun challenge sometimes if you do try and time yourself.
Yeah, I feel I might do a challenge at one point where I draw something and then see if I can do it faster and see mm-hmm. if it works better.
Yeah, okay.
That might be something fun to do.
Yeah, because colour pencil can be such a slow medium. It is fun to just, I guess, test out different techniques to see if you can do a faster style.
Yeah, I've tried doing what you're doing with pan pastels on the base.
Oh yeah, have you found that?
I can't get on with pastels.
Oh really?
Yeah, one is the feel of them on the paper. Kind of, I don't like it.
Oh really?
But I've tried it and it works really well. Like your outcome that you've got there is amazing.
It's just a quicker way of blocking it in, I think.
Yeah, that's the thing.
and get your colours down straight away.
Yeah. I think that's the way that I work. I can't often get my head around how to do that. I think I'm a bit stuck in the way that I do something now.
I
But
honestly used to draw the same as you, and then for some reason I tried to do it, you know, all at once, and
yeah.
now I can't go back because my brain is like changed.
That's good though.
I guess so, but it's not exactly like then it's always at the ugly stage until it's not, rather than having strips of beautifully completed drawing, you know?
Yeah.
Because it's harder to take progress pictures now.
I can imagine, yeah, because it's going through those stages.
Yeah. Like it's still ugly, it's still ugly. Oh, now it's finished and it's beautiful. Yeah, it's not quite the same.
It works really well, though.
Think it definitely helps make the process faster.
Yeah.
And like you said about not caring about the details too much as well.
It helps with that, does it?
I think so, because it's mostly like blocking in stuff until you get to like the final stages, and then it's like, okay, add a few like detailed hairs here and there to make it actually look like hair, like that texture, and then it's basically done.
I might have to give it a go.
Yeah, I think you should. It'll be fun exercise for you. Now that you've got this book, you can pick one and try it.
I'm gonna go through a few, there's a fox eye on the other page, which I was really
Yes.
tempted to choose as well because I
Yeah.
love fox. So I might go with that because I've got a bunch of pan pastels and pastel pencils, and I feel really guilty about not using them.
Well, I'd love to see it. That'll be fun. To give it a go, no matter the outcome.
Yeah. So
Yes, that's fun.
sometimes I'm sitting down the harbour and I don't always want to draw the piece that I'm working on. So I might take it with me and then give the exercises a go and maybe give myself a time limit as well.
Yeah, because they're only small, they won't take you too long anyway.
No.
It's not like trying to do a huge 6-hour piece. It's been quite fun to do a squirrel. I've never done a squirrel before.
Yeah, I've drawn a squirrel once, and now I want to do a whole squirrel.
It's really cute. Look at his little face. Oh, it's time now. We've gone over by like 6 minutes. I've been too excited and just chatting away. Well, I'll say goodbye now. And if you want to finish it and then send me the picture, I would love to see.
Yeah, I will do. I'm going to sit here. I've got the rest of the, well, I'll say the day off, but now I'm going to sit here and draw.
Yeah, sorry, I've given you a job to do. You can't leave
Well,
it unfinished.
I'll finish it, and then I'll send the picture over for you.
Yeah, I feel like I need to finish mine as well, so I'll be doing the same thing. And thank you so much, everybody, for joining us today. If you would like to follow Amy, if you're not already, then please go to her profile and follow her and look at her Patreon. She's a fantastic teacher and artist. And if you'd like your own practice journals, then you can get them from learnmycraft.com or on Amazon. And there are nine themes to choose from now. So this is the British Wildlife one that we're working on today. And you can watch this episode back on the Learn My Craft YouTube channel. So, see you next time. Thank you. And thank you, Amy. It was lovely.
Thank you for having me.
Thanks. Bye.
Bye.
If you've enjoyed listening, remember you can watch this podcast with video and no ads at learnmycraft.com, where you'll also find animal art practice journals, books, and tutorials to get you started. Hit subscribe and follow the podcast, and we'll see you next time.